It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
This morning, I caught up with National MP Christopher Luxon. We discussed the government's move to push through with three waters reform, which will centralise water management in Aotearoa into four entities. We also discussed the National Party's stance on vaccine mandates. Luxon started by explaining that he agrees changes to water management is necessary, but not in the way the government's doing it.
Yes, I don't want to confuse your listeners, but we do agree that there's need for change because you are right, there is ageing infrastructure. We see it here in Auckland with sewerage on beaches. We've seen it with lead and contaminated lead in Dunedin, and we had the Havelock North issue. What I'd say to you, though, is that the whole of the Havelock North issue, including Hastings and all the surrounding areas, was all fixed up for around about $18 million. And now to get all that water back into spec, which is fantastic and exactly as it should be. We do support the creation of this national water regulator because now we're going to have one body across the whole of New Zealand that sets the standards and, more importantly, enforces the standards and makes sure that the councils hit them and all these new water entities would hit them as well. And that's something that we've been very, very supportive of. But there are lots of other solutions and alternatives to delivering better water management in New Zealand that the mayors and councils themselves have been feeding back to the minister over the last 9 to 12 months.
And what are those sorts of alternatives?
Well, there's, if I take five district councils in Hawke's Bay, which is in Havelock North, where the problems actually began, they have all come and said, no, we're not supportive of this four mega water entities where 22 district councils will get thrown together. We actually have five district councils in our sub-region of the Hawke's Bay that actually like each other, would want to work together. We would continue to own the assets, but we would put them into what's called a council-controlled organisation, which would be sort of a separate entity that would then manage water in all five district councils across the Hawke's Bay, which are communities of interest. They are a coalition of the willing, and essentially the councils would still own the assets, and they'd still control and influence the organisation. And importantly, they could also get some benefits by having a number of engineers and capability built in a centre that serves and understands their local area.
You said that households could potentially be paying more under this new system. However, Minister Mahuta, who's in charge of this, has sort of said the opposite, has said households will be paying more without change. How would you respond to that? She said it's going to save Kiwis thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so the problem is this, which is essentially the minister started off by saying, look, we've got a $45 billion problem over the next 30 years. Remember, it's a 30-year sort of horizon and time frame. Then it moved to $90 billion, then moved to $120 billion, and then recently to $185 billion. So that's a series of consultants making a series of assessments and assumptions about what they think a gold-plated standard needs to look like here in New Zealand. I can tell you that's an eye-watering amount of money, and the fact that it's moved in that proportion in a matter of months just is really quite incredulous, because I can tell you, having run large organisations, made big capital investments around aircraft and other things over my time, when assumptions and financial models start moving in that regard and are that volatile in their assumptions, that's terrible. The minister, frankly, has had one idea stuck in her head, and she hasn't consulted, she hasn't engaged, she hasn't changed a single thing about it from day one. And that's why mayors and councils, and these are experts, these are people who know how to do this stuff. They
care about. Is there not consultation happening now in this process?
No. It's all classic Labor government, another 250 working groups. It's another working group that doesn't include the mayors, and it's got some mayors in it, it's got some experts on it, it's got some iwi on it. It hasn't been formed. There's no terms of reference yet. Who's on it, who's off it, no one knows. And frankly, the legislation's appearing in Parliament before Christmas in 6 weeks' time. So that is all just tokenism. It's a tweak, if anything, and nothing will come from it. And so it doesn't materially change it. It's just a concession because she knows she's upset so many of the the 67 mayors across the country. So she's promising she'll keep looking into it. And like this government, like we've seen on everything, they like to talk about stuff, but they don't do it.
You and the National Party have said it would be repealed if you were to come into power. In general, do you think that is a good way for democracy to work, I guess, for new governments to come in because and just overturn change?
Yeah, when it's a stupid idea, Noah, it's exactly what's needed, because otherwise you're just a lemming, mindlessly accepting that everything that you hear from the state is acceptable and is right, and it's just not true.
And so,
here's a case where we'll oppose it in the parliament. The government will pass it because they've got an absolute majority. The Greens are against it. We are against it. Other parties are against it. And we will oppose it. We'll repeal it. We'll get to government and we'll return those assets to local control. And as I said, the model we just talked about that the mayors themselves are proposing is a very interesting model, where you'd look at that and go, okay, well, if Hawke's Bay wants to run their water assets, they want to hit the standard the regulator's going to ask them to hit, and we'll make sure that standard is hit. There's no sacrificing on the standard. Then, you know, that's up to them to work out how they do that, and if they want to work together doing that in a CCO or council controlled organisation, we fully support that. And those assets therefore are in local control. They do have influence over that water entity. When they start charging differently or investing differently, they can make interventions to be able to change that. So yeah, that's the challenge here.
I also want to talk a little bit about vaccinations and the latest updates around COVID-19. So this week, Judith Collins said she supports vaccine certificates but is worried they'll create two classes of citizens. However, just a couple of weeks ago, COVID-19 spokesperson Chris Bishop said vaccinated people should have greater freedoms than the unvaccinated. Can you clarify National's position around vaccinations and freedom and mandates?
Yeah, so look, I mean, just zoom out a little bit and sort of hit this, come back through the issue. First of all, we want vaccination certification and authentication. We wanted it yesterday. We've been asking about it for a very, very long time. And the reason very clearly is that there is no doubt in a post-COVID world we're going to need proof of vaccination for international and domestic purposes. You know, if you think about travelling internationally, it's going to be very much a case. If you think about all your listeners wanting to go to music festivals over the summer, it's going to be, you know, very, very important that we have vaccination certificates in place and proof of vaccination as a result. Every country, just give you a feel for it, because sometimes we get lost in what's happening just in New Zealand, but if you just zoom out, every country in the OECD, which is essentially the advanced economies of the world, has a vaccination certificate. We're the only one who doesn't have one. Now, we've been talking about it. We've been talking about it for a very long time. But this is the stuff that I've been saying to you over months now that is one of those practical management things that should have been delivered, because we know we're going to need it, but it's not happening at the moment. So we're talking about it, but nothing actually has happened. The second thing I'd say is that if you go back and look at our back in business plan that we talked about, what would we do tomorrow to help small businesses move forward? We're very supportive of businesses being able to use vaccination certificates and authentication for running their businesses, where they need proof of vaccination for customers, and then obviously they need to make sure that their employees, if they're going to serve those customers, are vaccinated as well. So we're very supportive of that.
So just to go back to my original question, though, could you sort of clarify, do you think unvaccinated people should have less freedoms than vaccinated people?
I personally think that the reality is if you've got 90% of people who, you know, it's a bit like going, we have rules around no smoking, right, in restaurants. You know, we didn't used to, but we do today. And so you can go to a restaurant, any of your listeners can go to a restaurant, and, you know, your enjoyment there is not offended by someone who's smoking beside you, right? So in many ways, it's the same kind of principle. And so the idea is that you've got to think about the freedoms of the 90% that are vaccinated as much as the unvaccinated. Now, having said that, what Judith Collins was trying to say this week was that the tonality and the civility where we try to separate people into vaccinated and unvaccinated, we want to be making sure that we aren't being divisive. We want to be able to make sure that we can take unvaccinated people along on the journey and encourage them to get vaccinated. And some of the language that was starting to emerge where it was just a big pile in on the unvaccinated, I don't think that's the approach given sitting where we sit today. We want to encourage everybody to be vaccinated.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.